All right, so we're interviewing September DeSoto on Monday, December 4th. We're talking about LDS culture and mental illnesses. So first, September, can you briefly describe your own experience with mental health?
Yeah, so I feel like I'm like on TV or something. Sorry. I think I've always known that there was something that wasn't completely right. Like, I always had a sense of not belonging or a sense of, a lack of love for myself and also feeling that from others, even if it wasn't necessarily true.
Mm-hmm.
I remember just always feeling really insecure even at a young age, where it's probably a little abnormal to feel that insecure.
Mm-hmm.
I would just have meltdowns, like, in kindergarten, just over even the stupidest thing, like, my hair. Like, my hair was too curly, and I would just cry and wouldn't want to go to school. And I had a harder time making friends, and, I mean, I've obviously grown out of that, because I'm a much more friendly person now. But, I think I, like, started to almost put a name to it when I was maybe about 12. Like, that was just, like, a really, really low time regarding just like how I felt about myself, like just being happy with who I was. Like, I think I just kind of started to recognize that, like, I'm sad all the time. I don't think that this is quite normal. And it's not like I really had things, like, I had a relatively good life. I mean, I had some family struggles. I think everyone has that to an extent, but like, I had enough that I could have been happy with where I was, I think, but I just wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got to, like, about high school age, I think I was, like, 16 when I finally realized, like, I remember even telling my mom, like, I think I have depression and stuff, and just having her be like, no, like, you know, that's not your problem. People, I mean, their generation, it was a lot different. They didn't really, I guess, like, accept it quite as much as they do now.
Or acknowledge it.
Do as much as they get help for it. I guess they kind of just thought it was silly or not real.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember telling my mother this, like, multiple times. Like, I'm just, like, I didn't feel good about who I was, and I wasn't happy, and I knew that there was, I mean, there was reasons, of course, like, just everyday reasons of unhappiness, but to the level that I had it at, I was not normal, and I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And not healthy either.
Yeah.
So,
you've experienced specifically depression, and...
Yeah, so, and then,
And wasn't there another one as well?
Yeah, so I have something called panic disorder, actually.
Okay.
So, I was just about to describe that, so... Mm-hmm. When I was 16, I was sitting in the middle of church in sacrament meeting, like back in California and stuff, and I just sat down and I felt like I couldn't breathe. I felt like the room was spinning and that I couldn't feel my hands, and I just, like, my mom wasn't quite at church yet, and I just told my dad that I needed to go outside because I didn't feel good. And so I went outside and I was, like, hyperventilating and calling my mom, like, thinking that I was dying or something. Like, I wasn't really sure what was going on.
Jeez.
And then we made it through sacrament, but I was, like, so dead by then. I was, like, it, like, literally wears you out to the point where you can just go take a nap afterwards. And so I remember right after sacrament meeting, we went to the doctor, like, just in case, just the regular medical doctor. And then we did some blood tests and some other tests and stuff. And, of course, like, we got back that nothing was wrong. And it was really hard to, like, still convince my parents that I felt like there was a problem. And I did end up getting some therapy specifically for the panic attacks because they kept occurring after that.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the thing about panic attacks, is, like, you fear the next one coming, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of like it happens and it's like, crap, what if that happens again? And then you freak out that, oh my gosh, what if it happens again? And then that starts to freak you out, and it's kind of something that you can't control. necessarily. So there's, like, at least from what I know from my own experience, there's anxiety, but there's also panic. Mm-hmm. And I mean, usually you kind of have a little bit of both, but with the panic attacks versus an anxiety attack has something that kind of triggers it, where it's, you are anxious for a certain reason, whereas panic attacks can kind of just, like, come, where it's, like, all the time, like, my heart will just have, like, palpitations and stuff, and I'm like, ah, like, I want to just, like, sometimes it feels like it's going to come out of my mouth and I'm going to throw it up. So I did end up getting some therapy, like, specifically for that, and I found some good tricks and stuff, but, like, finding my medications was really what made it so that I could be happy and feel like I could be a productive person in society.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get that till I was 18. Okay. So I've been going on it for about 2 years now.
Okay.
But good. That's kind of my
history.
Yes. With it.
Okay. Uh-huh. Thank you. So now I just kind of want to talk about the relationship between the church, like, gospel side of things, and also church culture side of things, and how that relates with people that do go through mental illnesses. So first, how has the church and probably the gospel in particular helped you find, like, hope and strength while dealing with these specific trials?
So I remember right after I was starting to have these attacks when I was still pretty young, I remember just telling my brother about this and then, like, just, like, crying and be like, why does this happen to me? type deal. And just, like, he just told me, he's like, well, I don't know how you feel. And it's just, like, nobody really wants to hear that, you know, initially. It's like, oh, what? Like, no, just tell me everything's gonna be okay. And then he was like, I don't know how you feel. And I was like, all right. And then he said, but I know that Jesus Christ knows. And that was something that really changed for me that day. I mean, I kind of always knew that, but it was just a great reminder about the comforting part of the atonement. Mm-hmm. And that we, not only did he suffer for all the mistakes that we've ever made, but he suffers for the things that are out of our control as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he only did it just because he loves us, and he wanted to be able to feel everything that we could feel so that he could be our advocate with the Father. Like, just, like, realizing that Jesus Christ died so that I could make it back, so that he could fight for me to make it back, that he's already paid for it all. It's just a matter of me taking advantage of what he's already done. I think that, I mean, I'd say that that is the biggest concept that we have in the LDS Church, is just the amazing knowledge of the atonement that changes absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know that even these things that you did not do, that you did not deserve, and that you, how do I put this, you didn't, that the things that are out of your control can also be changed. It's almost like, I like to think of it also like he healed, you know, like he healed the sick, like he made the blind see and the deaf could hear. And it's kind of like that. It's just our own different kind of infirmities. It's like an infirmity with our mind, that he died so that we can be happy and that we cannot feel this anxiety anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, so just the knowledge of the atonement is the most important thing, I think,
mm-hmm.
in going, anyone who goes through something relatively similar to mine.
Yeah, that's definitely a big one. So switching gears, on the other hand, is there anything about the church, particularly maybe church culture and just misconceptions about mental illnesses within the church, that you think maybe worsens your experiences with mental health?
Totally. I think that, I just remember even like in young women's lessons where it's just like, you can choose to be happy. It's like, do you, you can choose to be not depressed. And it was just, like, that always made me mad. Uh-huh. Like, I would just be like, are you kidding me? Like, I did not choose this. I don't think anyone chooses to be miserable.
Right.
I mean, yes, we can make mistakes, and then it's kind of, like, from our own doing. It's like, oh, shoot, now I'm sad. But initially, nobody does something in order to be sad.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens. I wish that the church, not necessarily the church, but I wish that I could go back and tell my young woman self, or when I'm a young woman's leader, whatever leader I am, like, I hope to tell whoever it is that I am teaching that you don't necessarily choose if you're happy or not.
Mm-hmm.
However, you can choose what you do about your circumstance. You can't choose the circumstance, but you can choose what you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is, and I think the church is getting a lot better at this, especially, like, with Elder Holland's talk, what was it, the...
Like a broken vessel,
and then they made the Mormon message thing about it. I think that was awesome. I think that it's getting a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a long way to go, obviously, but that opened a lot of eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot what I was saying now, but what was I saying right before that?
And young women's?
And stuff. Okay,
or
yeah.
How you would teach it.
Yeah, so, like, if somebody is experiencing depression or anxiety, they cannot, it's not like you can just wake up the next day and be like, oh, totally fine, I'm not sad at all, I'm just gonna be happy. But you can choose to get help for it. You can choose to look for the medication that's gonna help you the best. You can choose to talk to somebody about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, tons of resources. And I think, like, something like LDS Family Services, I love, like, that's amazing that the church is looking to get more, like, to help those people out more
mm-hmm.
that are struggling with similar things to myself. But, like, culture-wise, I think the hardest thing is that everybody just puts on this face that, like, Mormons are the happiest people, and that, like, because we have the true church, we are, I don't know, like, we're just happier because of it. And yeah, that's true in a way. But I just wish sometimes it was just more real, you know? Just, like, especially on, like, social media, you see, like, these little Mormon moms, and they're all, like, four blonde kids, and they're all, like, the hair is perfect. They have, like, glitter shoes, and, like, they all are dressed nice, and the mom's, like, super happy all the time, posting all these pictures of her kids. And it's like, so I think that we try to just put on this face, especially mm-hmm. in the LDS culture, just in general, that our lives are perfect. And because of the church, our lives are perfect, when that's, like, completely false.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the gospel is for the sick. It's for the people that need help. Our lives aren't going to become more perfect just because of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But I forgot where I was going with this entirely. But
that's all right.
Hopefully, I answered your question.
No, you definitely did. Do you think there's any element of, like, expectation of perfectionism that's 100%. Cultivated in the church society?
Completely, yes. Mm-hmm. So, just, like, all the part of it, like, we have lots of commandments, obviously, and lots of rules, I don't know, like, not that it's necessarily, like, all these extra commandments, but, like, I guess in a way it kind of is,
mm-hmm.
that, and if we do all these things, that we're gonna be blessed, and, like, our lives are going to be so much better because of it. We're going to be happier. We're not going to have all the depressions and stuff. And sometimes it comes even when you are doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a huge misconception about that. And that, yeah, I think if we just thought of it more as a physical illness,
mm-hmm.
which it is, it's like an illness with your brain, which is a physical part of you.
Mm-hmm.
I think we wouldn't treat it so unusually, you know? I think that where it's like somebody who has cancer can do everything right, but of course they're still going to be sick and they're still going to be unhappy about the fact that they have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody that has diabetes or somebody that is in a wheelchair. It's their own form of handicap, I guess, or just, yeah, like a handicap. And just like, just because we do everything right doesn't mean that we're all going to be happy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge thing, I think, especially here in Utah, because it's so, the church is so everywhere.
For sure.
Yeah. I don't know if that also answered your question.
No, that does. And then last thing I just wanted to ask real quick is, what advice would you give for church members to have a better view on mental illnesses?
I think kind of just what I was saying mm-hmm. a little bit earlier, just if you thought of it the same as a physical impairment, I think we'd have more sympathy for people.
Mm-hmm.
And also just knowing that everybody is in their own place in life and everybody's figuring it out. And everyone has, like, even everybody with depression and anxiety has their own unique circumstances as well. And just being sensitive to that. And just being kind to one another and non-judgmental as well. And I think just fellowshipping one another and just being... I think if we focused more on ourselves rather than what other people are or are not doing, because sometimes mental illnesses can seem like laziness, or like people think that it's because of a sin or something of that sort. Just being open and just looking and seeing not only yourself, but other people as the way Heavenly Father sees them, and how Jesus Christ sees them.
That's great.
Just being loving to everybody.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for interviewing with me. That was great.